And it gets tough sometimes in the world that we live in to stay positive. And I thought I'd interject maybe a little bit of humor here that I pulled. I can't remember. It was on my computer somewhere here. I go, this looks pretty good. I had to change it because normally they're Sunday school stories. So I put it this way. This one's titled The Pillar. The Sabbath school teacher was describing how Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt when little Jason interrupted. My mommy looked back once in a while she was driving, he announced triumphantly, and she turned into a telephone pole. I'm looking forward to preteen camp coming up, by the way, and thank you for your prayers with that, by the way, because I finally got the contract. He reduced the price almost $1,500. So we really have a blessing there. So I hope to have a really good long-term relationship. He knows we're excited about even helping to improve the camp as well. So I think I've got at least 70 that have already signed up for camp, and we're just really heading into it here. So, you know, again, ask for prayers for all of the camps for good weather and for safety once again. But some of these comments, again, I look forward to talking with some of these young ones because they'll pull up little snippets like this. This is called The Good Samaritan. A Sabbath school teacher was telling her class the story of the Good Samaritan. She asked the class, if you saw a person lying on the roadside, all wounded and bleeding, what would you do? A thoughtful little girl broke the hushed silence and said, I think I'd throw up. A Sabbath school teacher asked, Johnny, do you think Noah did a lot of fishing when he was on the ark? No, replied Johnny, how could he with just two worms? That's thoughtful. A Sabbath school teacher said to her children, we have been learning how powerful kings and queens were in the Bible times, but there is a higher power. Can anybody tell me what that is? One child blurted out, aces. This is the last one here. 9-year-old Joey was asked by his mother what he had learned in Sabbath school. Well, Mom, our teacher told us how God sent Moses behind enemy lines on a rescue mission to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. When he got to the Red Sea, he had his army build a pontoon bridge and all the people walked across safely. Then he radioed headquarters for reinforcements. They sent bombers to blow up the bridge and all the Israelites were saved. Now, Joey, is that really what your teacher taught you? His mother asked. Well, no, Mom, but if I told you the way the teacher did, you'd never believe it. Interesting little snippets. Again, it's fun to smile and laugh. I don't want to ever forget that one. I know I told you this, but I want to revisit this one because just a wonderful memory. It was when I was talking to the little class I had. The younger ones seemed to come out with these a little bit more than some of the older ones. We'll get the 6, 7, and 8-year-olds, and then the 9 and 10, then 11 and 12-year-olds for the classes. Well, the young ones will normally come out with these. And I was talking about God having shape and form and that Moses was able to see his hind parts and he's got front parts. And I said, and when he sits on what? And the one girl blurted out, she goes, his hiney. I was looking for a throne. And so it just causes you to stop and go, wow, you know, out of the mouths of babes and that they can come up with such humor like that. But it's we're looking, again, forward to a very successful camp season and the memories that will be attached to these young ones' minds now for a long time and come up through the ranks and eventually they'll be on staff and parts of the church, too. It's just been a wonderful, super program that the church has put forward for many, many years now. So that's exciting. I'd like to talk today. There was some years ago, a certain person was clearing land down in Texas. And while he was clearing this land, he was hypersensitive to poison ivy. He didn't know that he was getting into it, but he ended up piling it up and piling it up and piling it up with all the wood and everything else. And then what he did is he set it on fire and burned it. And all that smoke went all over him. And then the smart thing he decided to do after that, since he was so hot, is go down to the local lake and just jump in. Now, if you thought about it, if you ever put oil on yourself and then just try to wash it off with water, you're basically just going to spread the oil all over yourself. The next morning, he found himself so bad that his eyes were shut, were swollen shut. His whole body looked horrible. So he decided, well, I need God's intervention here, so I'm going to go ahead and call the elder. This was over in the Big Sandy area, so a man named, if you remember, Mr. Norvell Pyle, he had brought him and his wife came over to anoint this person. I think you probably know who I'm referring to, as John referred to himself in the book of John. But I know that Mrs. Pyle looked and had to turn her head away because it was a monstrous, awful sight. I don't know what leprosy is like, but when you get poison ivy bad enough, it really can make you break out and blister. And for the next 2 weeks, there was not much sleep in there and not much soothing to be done while the body just had to get through it and heal. Now, over the years, there was some experimentation and a learning process because poison ivy is still something that's very highly sensitive to a lot of different people. At one point, I know for, I forget what year this was, but it got pretty bad on me. And I remember I had the sermon in Montgomery before we ended up going down to Florida, but it's very itchy. And when you get hot, it even gets worse. And someone suggested later on down in Florida that why don't you take a Benadryl? It was a Benadryl because it's an antihistamine. It would help with the itching. And so I took a Benadryl. And it was so bad that I thought I'd rather itch than take a Benadryl because it just, for me, it knocks you out. It makes you woozy and dizzy, and it didn't have a good effect on me, so I'm going, well, that's out. So I had a relative that said, well, why don't you just megadose on vitamin C? Because that's a natural antihistamine, but you have to take a lot of it, anywhere from 8,000 even to 10,000 mg of vitamin C, which is a lot. But if your body is using it, it'll absorb it naturally, which it did. And I found out for me that the itching went away so quickly and the healing process was sped up so quickly. It was a wonderful thing. Now, I always say that to some, that what might work for me might not work for you. Our body chemistries are sometimes different and will react with each other. So the next time that I messed with poison ivy was only a couple weeks ago. Once again, I didn't know that I was getting into it. And I just said, where in the world does this come from? And I saw a spot that broke out, and I go, well, I'm going to go ahead and wash that because the ingredient that makes the skin break out is called urushiol. I've done enough of this research over the years to kind of really get this down now. It doesn't spread through the bloodstream. If you've got the oil on you, the thing is to get the oil washed off. Because if any oil is left and you touch another part of your body, the oil is going to go there and affect which it did. So sometimes it might tell you where you've been touching your body too much sometimes. Over here, under the arm, wherever it might be, it was breaking out in different places. So I decided I'm going to use something different this time. So I got my phone and I downloaded the Healing Poison Ivy app. And so I just went like this and... And all of a sudden, it was gone. It's just incredible. Gone. Simply gone. But obviously, it didn't happen that fast, and nor is there an app for that. Sometimes, if you ever watched Star Trek before, some years ago, they invented that on Star Trek, where it did make some kind of woo-woo-woo type noise, and right before your eyes, that wound just healed right up. So we kind of get used to that sometimes. It'd really be nice. There's a character on one of the, I don't know if it's Marvel or what, the guy with the knives that come out of his fists and all that, you can shoot him all day and he'll just heal right back up again. Be nice if that would happen, but it really doesn't happen that way. But the miraculous thing about it is, about a month ago, this wrist was pretty bad. It started with a line that went right across my wrist. It kind of looked funny. And it got actually a little bit deeper, and I was wondering if the vine will come down on you. That's what it looked like. Somehow the vine hit me right there, and so you saw a line, and it opened up, and it was gaping. It just was really bad, and then it actually had spread. Maybe I didn't wash it good enough. I'm not sure. So this whole area looked pretty bad. I did the old vitamin C, and it did work once again, but you know, I look at it now, and I go, isn't that a marvel? How this will just heal up, and we take that for granted sometimes. You know, I look, and you'll probably do this, the older that you get, the more scars that you get. We might cut ourselves, we might burn ourselves, and I look at some of these scars on my hand, and I do remember this one. I was cutting rope and missed and hit this, almost cut the finger off. Some of you might have gone through things like that. But thankfully, again, God placed a natural healing process within us. In fact, there's a procedure that even John Hopkins had put out how this really takes place. Again, as we take that for granted, but it says the steps of the wound healing are first in stopping the bleeding, which is called hemostasis. So the platelets get together, and it's almost like this field team that's working together. Like they're almost going, guys, we got this job done. Now come on in, and you take care of this. The next one is inflammation, that it gets, naturally, it's supposed to get that way. Again, we take that for granted, but it says once the wound is closed with a clot, the blood vessels can open a bit to allow fresh nutrients and oxygen into the wound for healing. Blood-borne oxygen is essential for healing, but the right balance of oxygen is also important. Too much or too little, and the wound won't heal correctly. So another type of blood cell, a white blood cell called a macrophage, takes on the role of wound protector. This cell fights infection and oversees the repair process. When I'm reading this, I'm thinking of a white blood cell going, okay, you get over here, you over here, come on, we're doing this. It's almost really how it takes place. These blood cells have got minds of their own, in a sense. They know what to do at the right time. So even when you look at that process and go, whoever says there's no God, something's got to be wrong, even when you look at that. Because I always thought, what if God didn't do this process? Can you imagine what a mess we are? We'd be walking around like this because the broken leg would never heal. You know, cuts, we'd have to have everything bandaged all the time. You know, what a mess it would be if God didn't, what a wonderful process he put into fixing some of these things that take place. So these macrophages, it says, also produce chemical messengers called growth factors, which help repair the wound. Then you get into the growth and rebuilding. The blood cells, including oxygen-rich red blood cells, arrive to help build new tissue. Chemical signals instruct cells to create collagen, which serves as a type of scaffolding, and other tissues begin the repair process. Occasionally, you see the result of this process as a scar that starts out red and eventually dulls. Within a week, the repair is 10% as strong as the original. And then you go from the growth and rebuilding to strengthening. Over time, the new tissue gets stronger. You might notice stretching, itching, and even puckering of the wound as that happens. Within 3 months, the wound is about 70% as strong as its repair, in its repair, as it was before the trauma. The entire healing process actually might take a couple of years, it says, to complete, because it's still working on strengthening that and rebuilding that. So what I'd like to talk about today, in fact, I'll even read this, because back in 1987, some didn't know this because it was simply in a pastor general's report that came out to the ministry, and it was really up to them whether they were going to go through the process of teaching something that was coming out that just simply wasn't true. I'll tell you this now, my father-in-law got in trouble for saying it looks like something bad is coming out. He got called out to headquarters and was eventually transferred to be retrained because he still believed that God was directly involved with the healing of his people when they asked for it. And the going technology was, well, God's not so interested. I know there used to be a time when maybe people were taught you shouldn't go to doctors at all. I think there's a very balanced view that we have right now. And again, sometimes maybe some imbalance there too, because what happened in 1987, my wife watched it for the next years as the faith of God's people continued to go down and down and down as we are constantly plugged with so-called new teaching that simply just wasn't true. It did its damage, though, and that's got to be strengthened once again today because God does care. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ is there not just for the forgiveness of our sins, but for the healing of our bodies as well. So I like to read this, what I send out to you when you ask to be anointed, and I can't be there, or Mr. Baker can't be there, and we'll send what's called the anointed cloths. So I will say, dear friend, I am grateful for your faith. And I said, your faith in following God's biblical instruction of asking one of his believing ministers to pray for your healing. One of the most wonderful blessings experienced by those who believe and trust in God is that of the miraculous healing of afflictions and infirmities. Jesus healed those who came to him in faith, and he is still healing people today through his chosen servants, and I'll accompany scriptures with that. James 5, verse 14 and 15 instructs all Christians to call upon the elders of the church for prayer and anointing when they are sick. So that's biblical instruction. That's not somebody else's idea. The prayer of faith will save the sick according to God's will. Because it was not possible for the Apostle Paul to personally anoint all who he asked, he set an example of anointing cloths and sending them to those who had requested prayer for healing. From Acts 19, we get that example. The Church of God follows this example today. Since you have turned to God for healing and I cannot be there to personally anoint you, I have sent this cloth where I have anointed for your healing. God is aware of our needs and in his love and mercy will act accordingly. So I will get on my knees and just like I'd be anointing you, I anoint this cloth and ask that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ be applied in your life as well. And I believe that. I've always believed that for years. In fact, I know when that was tested early on for me, to wondering whether God was, you know, how much involved was he with my healing when so many other people might have been sick. And I remember a time where I had about 3 or 4 warts on my finger, just small things, but aggravating. When somebody will get corns or warts that some have experienced, I don't know where it came from, but I just didn't think I should be bothering an elder for something that small. And I don't know if it was my mother-in-law or whatever it was. She was always the faithful in the small things. So I eventually went to the elder and asked that I for anointing, just for these few warts. And I'll say the next morning, they were gone. The very next morning, they were gone. So I've seen the miracles. I didn't finish the story about the poison ivy. When Mr. Pyle came over to anoint me, the swelling off my face left. So I had to deal with the rest of my body. But even for that to be gone, was just a wonderful, I'm so grateful for that. The rest had to heal up, but I know the anointing worked and was very appreciated for that. I know we've got examples in the church here today. I still remember when Mr. Baker was, he could have lost his eye. And things miraculous happen when you call out to God for healing. It's still there today. We need to make sure we understand that. There are plenty of examples. There's so much to do with this that I want to get into the basic scriptures on this so we establish or reestablish that foundation. So in my message today, we're going beyond the miracle of which God made when he created the natural and complex healing mechanisms within his creation. Yes, even plants and trees, animals in the environment were created with repair and healing components. In fact, can you believe for some of you, I remember this one bush that we've got out in front of our house, we just really cut it back. And I said, wow, let's see how this thing is going to take off. And it's so beautiful today. God talks about the pruning process. Many of you have probably done that. You'll prune it back so much, you go, wow, is this thing going to come back? And all of a sudden, pow. It just, that process is just there right in front of our very eyes. So we're looking into the scriptures which speak, though, of our need for God's intervention dealing with physical and spiritual healing. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5, we can start here. We probably obviously saw this during the time of the Passover to understand what Jesus Christ did for us. Still cares deeply for each and every one of us. Yes, sometimes, again, we've had questions all through our lives of why at times it doesn't seem like God is intervening at that specific time. I know sometimes I will tell people in a trial that they're going through, I look forward to seeing you on the other side of this. There always is the other side eventually. God does choose to intervene. Sometimes he's creating patience within us. I don't want to stretch my fish story so far. I can't remember how many years it was. Most of you were involved with praying that we'd sell our house in Georgia. It took years to sell that. I didn't understand why. I still don't understand why. But I do know that I'll never doubt God. So he's got his reasons, and I do know that he's blessed us with a place that we could take our in-laws in that I mentioned before. I thought, wow, I finally get my own office here. And then I knew my in-laws had to come live with us, and I go, now I know why we got that house. So sometimes you can see directly where God has intervened, and sometimes we don't always see clearly to do that. But the point is, do we have the faith and trust to know that healing and intervention is still in there for us today? Isaiah 53 and verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by or with his stripes we are healed. Yes, there is a spiritual mechanism that's there to heal us spiritually, called the forgiveness of sins. And by the way, if you remember back to the time of the Passover, when that lamb was killed, the lamb wasn't beaten, was it? The lamb didn't get a crown of thorns put on its head. It simply was killed in the normal way that they killed animals back then. It was a very painless procedure, just by slitting the throat. So if that's all that was required is by the blood of Jesus Christ, you simply just had to slit his throat, and that would be painless procedure. You'd have a Savior that died by his blood. There was something else that was important. God understands when we hurt. He understands when we suffer. And so when we go to our Savior, when we go to our mediator, we're going to somebody who knows what it's like to hurt. Psalm 103, verse 1. Let's look over here at Psalm 103. I know I quote this often because I don't want to forget this. Some of you may have worked for companies or corporations or still may to this day. They're becoming less and less. You had benefit packages. Our benefit packages aren't so good as what they used to be anymore. We still actually have a medical plan, but our deductible is $6,000. So it's really an emergency medical plan when you think about it that way. So that's how it works, and sometimes that's the best that you can do. So we're grateful to have even an emergency backup, but God knows that as well. But I remember, again, there were times back in Michigan when I worked for a corporation, when I worked for Chrysler, and even at that time I was thinking, this can't continue to exist. Because you're giving all of these weeks off, vacation packages, you're giving these benefits, and I go, how can you survive? Well, you can't, because they're out of business. If you go down to Atlanta, they had a GM plant there on the north side that was there for years and years. And the base wage when they closed down was $26 an hour for non-skilled labor, plus benefits, free medical, days off, vacations. Where do you get the money for that? Well, they couldn't sustain it. So Ford shut down on the south side of Atlanta, GM shut down on the north side. And you get those that just can't afford it. And we've got the same problem today. We're in a nation where people want freebies. They want the handouts. And where that was supposed to be there a long time ago, for the time then somebody did go through a hardship or a hard time, then they could be helped. But obviously they've come now to be known as entitlements. And it's bringing our entire nation down. It's not a good process. But God also has a very special benefits program for his people that's revealed right here in Psalm 103, verse 1. It says, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So here's the package. Verse 3, it says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. See, there's the package that goes together, that complete sacrifice that we've always taught that goes together, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Because, as you know, each and every one of us does not deserve to be here right now. We don't deserve this. And we've thought about that before. We're only here because of God's mercy. It says in verse 5, He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Some of you I know realize out there, I'm turning the big 6-0 June 1st. I'm not looking forward to some of these coming days because I've seen that it even hurts sometimes to get back up again. Somebody in the church might invent some kind of machine to help people get back up. It gets to be that point that your muscles start to creep a little bit more. Part of that, there are reasons for that. We probably all need a little bit more exercise. You know, sometimes, yeah, I know that, and then we get carried on with computers and TVs and driving in cars. I'm a victim of that, too. Monday, I start my new workout program. So we'll see what that does. So my wife convinced me to get into a place where I can start to actively pursue this. So I can't tell you to do it if I'm not doing it. But I've got to turn this around because things have gotten really sore lately. And maybe for a lot of us, too. I think that God does expect us to do what we can do. Because we're not the healthiest group of people, even though we follow His health laws and His dietary laws. We still are lacking in some areas. And again, that's for each and every one of us to take a look in the mirror and go, what do I need to see? You know, again, I realize, too, some of it's genetic. There's a lot of things, but that behooves us to step it up even more if we even have some genetic issues. Again, this is a very personal thing that I've got to take a look in the mirror at myself as well. But when you see this, He satisfies your mouth with good things. Isn't it great when you sometimes are on that downslope and then you're on the other side? And as I got a note from the Barbaros, and they were going through a very difficult time when they were here. You know, she wrote me and they understood, they couldn't understand why they couldn't get jobs. She wrote me and she goes, I love my job. And Michael was able to get a job over there too. They're a part of the Augusta congregation now. I told God, I go, I guess you needed Michael over to help out in Augusta, because I know he was helping out here. So you see those things unfold, and you see the miracles that happens in people's lives, and it's happened in our lives too. Again, we come to those times where, whether it's, you know, again, I'm so grateful to have this little break here coming up with Pentecost that we don't get all the time. It's like, it's going to be like a little mini feast, isn't it? To where you can just relax, you don't have to go out for meals, everything's there, you can just enjoy the fellowship, you know, seminars and Bible studies, and just get away from the world for a while in a very nice setting. So our mouth is going to be satisfied with some good things there. At the Feast of Tabernacles, it just goes by too fast sometimes. But look what we have ahead of us in the future. So our youth can be renewed. Your body might be slower and it might hurt, but there's something about God rejuvenating and, again, getting the entire spiritual element of our body so we're uplifted, even though we might be hurting at times. Verse 6, it says, The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses and His acts to the children of Israel. Those are called testimonies that are written down for us so we can have a reminder of what took place back in the Old Testament as well, because as we know, one of the biggest problems of Israel is they were backsliders. They did not continue to trust in God. We had a modern day form of that back in the late 80s and beginning at the mid to late 80s and into the 90s, to where God's church was backsliding as well. And He needed to put us back on track again, but a lot of people were damaged in going through that. And our faith has got to be strengthened. Verse 8, it says, The Lord is merciful and gracious. It says here, slow to anger. That tells me He gets angry. Sometimes just at us. But He's so merciful. And it says, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chastise, neither will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And this is the part that I like. I remember this. For as heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Let's not read over that one too quickly. How far is east from the west? It keeps going, doesn't it? So think about that. That's God's mercy and His forgiveness. Sometimes when you don't feel that you should be forgiven, when you say, God, I don't deserve to be forgiven. Well, you probably not. But he does it anyway. When you call out to him and cry out to him, he says, it's gone. It's forgotten. He just says, don't stop getting up and moving forward. Don't let that cause you to backslide. That's his blessings. That's his blessings and benefits package. Like a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who deeply respect, those who fear him. For he understands our frame. See, that was his plan. He never designed this from the beginning to be something that would go on forever. He designed a physical creation that was going to decay. Romans, Paul talks about that in the book of Romans. That was subjected to that. It's not going to continue. So that's where we go. I think just when you get, I'm not sure what age it was for you, but 40, I think I felt pretty good at 40. When I was 50, I think my wife offset it a bit because she got me a set of golf clubs. That kind of helped a little bit to soothe some of the pain of turning 50. But then you get 60, and I know some of you out there are going, don't even tell me about it. Because I'm not near the 70s or 80s or whatever. And if I ask you, hey, how fast has life gone by? You go, oh, you don't, give me a break. And I'm going, well, it's already gone by fast for me, so this is not looking really good. Because I remember how it felt to be 20 and how it felt to be 30 and how you used to run, be able to get up and be able to dance and do all those things. Now everything is sore a lot of the times. You can't do what you used to anymore. That's what God put in motion. But you know, we've got something to look forward to. We get brand new bodies one day. That's a part of God's benefit package. That if we continue, some of you out here, I'm going to be watching do backflips. You go, backflips? I haven't done that. I've never done that before. Actually, I did do a backflip, a couple of them, until I landed on my head one time. I never did a backflip after that. But I did backflips before. We're going to have these wonderful spiritual renewed bodies that will never get old and never suffer again. And that's something to be encouraged. But right now, we've got to deal with what we've got. And sometimes intervention is needed to where some of the things that we do just don't seem to be working. And so we continue to seek God for his intervention, knowing that it's his will, certainly. Now, we know that Paul asked for intervention with a problem he had, and God said no. You're going to carry that one so you won't all of a sudden get on top of yourself and think that you're my gift to mankind, in a sense. He was special. Again, we see some of those things where God says, not at this time, not right now. Whatever that might be, it builds patience. But again, we do know that God does heal and cares for us. So he knows our frame. He remembers that we're but dust. Genesis 3:19, you don't have to turn here. It says, for dust you are, till dust you will return. And that gets your eyes start getting a little bit more wide open when you start getting into the later years to realize, you know, back when I was 30, I go, I certainly have, unless something, an accident happens, I certainly have 30 more years. I felt pretty confident then. You know, you get to be 40, another 40, 80, you start to get a little concerned there. I don't know about making 80. How about when you get to be 50? Certainly, my grandfather was in pretty good shape. He lived to be 98 years old and did pretty good health-wise. He had colon cancer back in the 60s and survived that, lived to be 98. And the only thing that got bad on Grandpa was his ears because of the chainsaw from cutting wood. So, but 98, I don't know. About 98. So this is getting pretty bad here. Now you get to 60, definitely I'm not making 120. Unless God's got some kind of incredible miracle in mind, I don't think that's going to be happening. So what about another 20? Now, Hezekiah asked for 15. So 15 tacked on, that's 75. That's going to be, if I'm living at that time, I imagine things are going to really be pretty sore. Tired out, worn out, whatever, but I still understand and know that that spirit can be renewed and our focus toward God and the way that we look at things hopefully can be changed even as we get older. We can ache and yearn and go to God and ask for his intervention, but it's still up to us in many of these cases to do a little bit better than what we're doing at taking care of our bodies. As you know, Benjamin Franklin's, one of his quotes, he said, in this world, nothing can be said to be certain, and you know the answer to this, except what? Death and And of course, we just had our deadline, didn't we? So they're there. So, you know, the Bible says, again, continuing in the Psalms, as for man, his days are like grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. So we ask ourselves the question, we read about David, where is he? We read about Abraham, nobody knows where he is. Not many people even take thought of that, that might actually be at times walking over their graves. Hezekiah, remember when he was given that the 15 years? He could ask for another 15, probably 1,000 times, and he'd still be dead, wouldn't he? 15 years at his time, he was going, thank you, I've got 15 years. Well, he'd be dead how many times over if you look back at how far is the time frame that exists within our life. And it would be dismal, except we know what the special thing we've got ahead of us. I tell people sometimes when they're older, hang in there, hang on to what you've got, because you pretty soon you're going to get your brand new bodies. And that is so true. That's what the Word of God says. But God is there for us. So Elijah, Daniel, the apostles, gone. Verse 17 says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who fear him, and his righteousness to his children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Can you not wait for that to that time? There's no more kinky stuff going on with Iran, with North Korea, even with our country and the things that are taking place. His kingdom will be ruling over all. And we get to take care of those, some of those other problems that they're having now, just by simply taking them back to following what God says to do. What a wonderful time that's going to be. So we've established the truth about God's benefits, or his benefits package, how he views and understands his creation, what he expects to those who keep his commandments and fear him, and what he says he'll do for those who fear him. Here's the question. Do you really believe? Satan's going to come after each and every one of us, because who better than what's called the first fruits to take away your crown, to cause you to doubt? It's going to come out. If you see what's happening in the world, you can count on that spiritual battle coming to your doorstep as well. We've got to gird our loins up and get closer to God and be strengthened in this faith and understand and know without a doubt, when he called you, he did it for a purpose. He sees what you're going through, he understands, and he still heals today. He still intervenes. In Matthew chapter 8, let's go over here and see something very special that was done here. Matthew chapter 8, all these examples once again given to us to show the miraculous things that God can do. So Jesus right here must have used the Star Trek gizmo, because this is what happened. Matthew 8, verse 1, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. So here was a faith element. This was going around that this man could heal. He believed. So Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, that is my will, be you clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now that's something they did with a trick on Ben-Hur, if you ever saw that. When the mother and daughter were healed of their leprosy, all of a sudden the lightning flashed and boom, no more leprosy. This happened at that time. Could you imagine being there? There were other things that he did. We'll go to a couple of those as well. But to imagine having leprosy, which was a bad infection of the body, and all of a sudden it's gone. So Jesus Christ, the one that created the entire creation, physical creation, from things that didn't exist, goes above what mankind can do. We can put bandages on. We can do our best to treat it, to make it heal up a little bit quicker. He doesn't need that. He does it sometimes just like that. I saw it in my life with just a few warts on my finger. Sometimes you can talk to God and ask Him for those things and know that and understand that, that He does hear. He hears our voice. So he said in verse 4, "See that you tell no man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony to them." So he was going up to the priest because normally what you do under the law of the Old Testament, if you had leprosy, you would go to the priest and he would tell you if you still needed to be quarantined or if your body was healing at the time and would tell you what to do so this wouldn't spread among all the people. So here he went up to the priest, but this was going to be a testimony now that this man was healed that quickly. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion. Now here's not a man of Israel, a Roman centurion, saying, "Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy." This was a type of paralysis which involved tremors and seizures, grievously tormented. And Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." Interestingly enough, this is one of Jesus, no doubt, what you would call a wow moment. Here's a centurion that says something like this. Maybe one of the times in Jesus' life where actually he was so thrilled and happy that someone actually believed and had this type of faith to understand this. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, 'Go,' and he does, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." So when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "I've not found so great a faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." See, if you continue to follow this path, and I do, I dream of these times. We've read about these characters. We know them pretty well when you go into the detail when it talks about the life of Abraham and some of these others that we get to sit down and talk to them. And they can talk to us. I can't even imagine talking to them about jets. You know, what about tweeting? Will that still be done? You know, what will this be like? How wonderful it would go. Yeah, they would go, "Yeah, it went by that fast. It went by that quick." Well, what was it like? Did you know? If, imagine the time factor when you're in the grave. There is none. You could be dead for thousands of years, and it seems like it was just like that. It's the way that God made it to be. But here it says, look what it says in verse 12, "But the children of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Why? Because of the lack of faith. He called us, and yet we didn't believe. He set it before our eyes to see what he did, but yet we caused a lot of things that we saw around us, the physical elements. Well, but that person is not being healed, and well, that's happening to that person. Does that cause you to doubt and to not seek God first? Well, maybe he just wants me to do it on my own. No, he always wants us to seek him first. Verse 13, Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, as you have believed, so it be done to you." And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. When he came to Peter's house, another incredible miracle that took place here, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever. He touched her hand. The fever left her. She arose and served them. It wasn't even getting over something. Well, I've got to rest a little bit after this. She gets up and doing so well, she ends up serving. And when the evening had come, he brought to him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast the spirits out through his word and healed all who were sick. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "He took on our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." So the physical things, yes, and even the mental difficulties that people go through, they existed back then. We just name them now. Whatever it might be called, we've got different names for them. But they existed back in Christ's time as well. Those with mental problems also were healed. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And he gave this power, by the way, to his disciples as well. And so you can see the power of God, and it's important for us to understand this right now, because as you and I come through, we renewed our commitment to God at Passover. We came through the days of unleavened bread, exemplifying that we were to take on sincerity and truth, having put out, in a constant process that we go through, and putting sin out of our lives. But then you realize it's not easy, is it? Nobody ever said it would be easy. Of ourselves, we really can't do it. We have to understand we've got to have that connection with God, because we need the help. We need the strength and the power of His Spirit to be able to do that, to be able to conquer the things that we look at the mirror and go, yeah, I realize I've got to do that, and then we turn around and we don't do it. We need to seek the help of God and have the faith that He wants us to improve our lives, for our lives to get better. And He puts us through testing and trials sometimes so we will grow and get better. But He does not want us to ever doubt. He gave this power again to His disciples, it says in Matthew 10, verse 1. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And that example follows through the church of God today, that He gives that same power. After what we've gone through, I always made sure if I'm going to have somebody anoint me, they better believe that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is for the forgiveness of my sin, but He also will heal my afflictions. That doubt came for many, and many fell away. Acts chapter 3, verse 1, it's the incredible miracle that happened here. If you remember the stories that we recounted and going through the disciples of them talking to each other as far as, the things, that who was greater than each other. Remember that? As we went through those accounts, even we could see that Christ had a sense of humor when He walked up to them. He'd go, by the way, what were you guys talking about anyway? Knowing that they were talking about who is going to be greater than one another. And what was Christ's final statement to them after He took them through the wonderful example during that Passover? It was called the foot washing. I am He who serves. Sometimes I've had people say, well, you know, I know you're busy. I'm not too busy for that. When somebody asks for healing, nobody can be that busy when somebody requests the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to be applied in their life. Acts chapter 3, verse 1, now you see a total different mentality in these now true servants of the Almighty God. Now Peter went up together to the temple, the hour of prayer being about 3 p.m., ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, what is called Beautiful, to ask for charity or donations of those who entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for charity. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but for such as I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now think about this just for a minute. Usually, if you're going to get back up on your feet again, I think the only other thing I thought was when I watched Forrest Gump and those guys were chasing him and he lost his braces. The man, he ran, found out that he could do that. But this person had not walked ever, lame from his father's wound. And you would think that he's going to get up, as I remember my grandfather did. I can't remember what years, even in his later years, though. He would get up from his rocking chair and he'd rock a little bit so he could have the force and momentum to get up. So he would rock and get back up, and then he would get his footing. He would kind of go like this, and then he kind of do some jabs like he was a boxer or something. He had a great sense of humor. But you know, you get your footing as you get older. This person, you would think, would go, "I've not ever done this before." He's already jumping and leaping. And that's why I say, when I see this miracle taking place, God has us go through this walk of life. It's interesting how fast it goes. And I'm watching my granddaughter now. I go, "What are you feeding him?" she just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And you watch this process as I talk to my wife and I go, what happened at that time? We had kids at one point. They're out. It's gone. And now they're getting bigger. And I'm on that spot now. I'm kind of on downhill. It's not the greatest feeling, but that's where it is. That's what God designed it. But guess what? I can't wait to get my new body and do my backflips again without falling on my head. We are getting new bodies. We simply have to take care of the ones that we've got right now and do a better job at it. This was miraculous. And God's miracles aren't just for that time there, nor were they just for that time in the Old Testament. They're now, and His power works the same within the Church of God today. Do you believe it? So all the people, it says in verse 9, saw Him walking and praising God. They knew it. They knew this was a miracle. They knew it was He who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to Him. And as the lame man who was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. When Peter saw it, he replied to the people, "You men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you look so earnestly upon us as though by our power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" You know, I wondered even through the times of the Church of God as a whole now. Now, I always wonder, I keep an ear out. I'd love God to tell me to resurrect somebody, but I see the danger in that too. What would happen if somebody within the Church of God would resurrect somebody? Ah, that's the place to go. Is it really? Is that what God wants? Very dangerous. But I believe it could be. I look for that time when more miracles may happen toward the future. Now, we've got some bad things and bad miracles that we'll be seeing in the future. And we used to see even more, it seems, healings and interventions and miracles in God when the church was new, relatively new, even back in the 40s and 50s. I say to you, God's power is still there today. But I wonder if the faith of God's people is and how much that's been damaged. So he said he gave God the glory here. Remember? They would have probably back then chalked this one up. Hey, John, try that one, huh? You see that one? That puts me up here at the next notch. That would have been the thinking. No longer with the power of God's Spirit, what they witnessed. It was all glorifying God. He said the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, that same one that existed back and those that have been dead for so long, even then, He says, has glorified His Son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go. You denied the Holy One and just and desired a murder to be granted to Him, speaking of Barabbas, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And here is the epitome of the witness of this miracle. It says, in His name, through faith in His name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which is through Him has given Him this perfect soundness, a perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And today, we have access, as God has revealed from the very beginning, to be healed of sickness and afflictions because of that complete sacrifice. So let's go to the place that we go to identify this within the Church of God today. Over in James chapter 5, here's the instruction. And I'm going to add a little bit to this so it doesn't throw you off too early here. In James chapter 5, here it says in verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Go take some Advil. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick? Go to the nearest medical center. Now, I'm not saying that can't be done. It's always a good thing in many cases to find out what the problem is, if there's anything that you can do. But I tell you this, I think sometimes in the Church of God today, it takes more faith to go to a doctor. Because you're thinking about, what's this guy going to mess up on me? He might fix something, right? But so many times I've seen bad things. In my observation, with my mom, And my dad, it wasn't a good thing. And I've heard so many people say, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I can only say research and research and research and research and pray and pray and ask God for wisdom, but go to Him first. Doesn't it say Matthew chapter 6, verse 33? Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek Him first. You could go back to the book of Kings. You remember that king called Asa? Asa, the problem with him, he did not seek God. He went to the pagans and looked upon their healing. What do we do today? You know, today, you go to the medical, you're taking from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There could be some good in there. But, you know, it's so interesting how cancer is treated today. They go in and kill everything. Everything is killed. I don't think that's the way that God works. It's a very difficult decision for so many to make sometimes. But the first element should be, you seek God first. And I'm not saying for every sniffle that someone gets. God's created a healing process. If this wasn't getting better, yeah, I would try some different topicals, or some people are doing oils now. It seems like, I mean, years ago it seemed to be Melaleuca would fix everything. And now there's all these snake oil concoctions that are still out there. I'm not sure if they work. If it works for you and you feel better, that's great. But the first thing we should do when things aren't getting better and we need God's healing in our life, we need to go to God first and not think, well, He's too busy for me. No, He's not. He wants you to seek Him. That's what's called fearing God. To those who fear and deeply respect Him, God, I'm coming to you first. Show me what to do. But I'm seeking you, I believe you, and I'm asking for your intervention. And then what do? You continue, just as Jesus Christ did. You know, the first time He went to pray, He went back, He goes, I've got to go back and pray again. And it says, and His Father strengthened Him. But it was more than one time He went. Sometimes it is the first time. Sometimes there's a continual process. Show me, guide me. Maybe there is something wrong. Today I wonder, even looking at something, maybe the lack of God's interventions, I'm going, does God want to heal somebody that keeps abusing themselves the same way? I don't know about that. Well, let me heal you so you can continue the practice of eating your Burger King French fries every day. There's a lot of things out there that aren't so good for us, that we're taking too much. I'm not going to talk about that today. That's not the purpose, but there are things that we can do to better take care of our bodies. And so many are just being ignorant about that. We're putting things in that aren't meant to be taken into our bodies. We've got to change that as well. Is any sick among you? What's it say? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And I'm glad to say today that you've got two among you that believe in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. When you call upon Mr. Baker or myself, I know that we believe that Christ heals, and we anoint specifically understanding that God is fully capable, just like that, of healing someone. And we pray for that to be done. That's in belief. And it says in verse 15, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, they will be forgiven. So we see a couple of things, points. Let me go over first. There's 3 points in this passage. First, it says we're to pray for ourselves. It says, is any one of you in trouble, he should pray. Second, we call upon the elders of the church when we're really sick. Is any sick? Third, it says we're to pray for each other. Verse 16, confess your faults to each other, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, I don't think it's saying to, you know, that you have to spill every specific sin that you've ever committed. But sometimes, you know, I'll go up to somebody and say, you know, I've really not, I guess I just did it publicly. I just joined a club. I know I've not been getting enough exercise. I just confessed one of my faults to you. Got to take better care. You know, we're in a spot where we drive a lot, where we use the computer a lot, and that's not enough exercise. So I finally got to the hello McFly point. Hello, anybody home there? get more exercise, get so you can feel better. And again, a lot of people are suffering because of the lack of some basic fundamentals. More oxygen, less Fox News, more good music, more positive things in our lives. Despite, again, because it's going to get worse. I'd like it for us to go the other way, not let the world carry us with its negative. But while they go that way, let's go this way. Let's get better. Let's understand what this is, what's happening here. So we pray for each other. So we pray when? When we're suffering? And even says when we have success. It says let him sing psalms. Do you ever do that? Just spout out one. Sing out songs to God of thanksgiving. There's so many that we remember. It says when we have sickness. So when we're suffering, when we have success, when we have sickness, and when we're in sin. James is recognizing that life is made up of triumph and tragedy, sorrow and joy, illness and sickness trip us up, and sometimes sin will entangle us to where even our bodies will go. It's a natural state sometimes when we sin. Something happens, starts to happen to our mind. What's the Bible call that? It's called quenching the spirit. The spirit needs to be stirred up, not quenched. And after time, it'll start to take its effect on people. We've got to go the other way. So here we have specific instructions for the church today as God has for his people. Just like he had for his people under the old covenant. Let's go over here quickly to Exodus chapter 15. Let's look at the promises that he made to his people, Israel. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if they just had stayed close to God and believed him? It almost seems like the first thing they do is they complain and all the miracles that took place. And can we not, I don't want to forget mine, but that's why I share them. I just don't want to forget even the smallest of ones. When I was a little bit depressed and downtrodden, I may have shared this, I'll share it again. A little bit depressed and downtrodden, I'm seeing all the things that are happening around to people that are sick, and you know, it wasn't to the point where it was last week where people, two young ones had died. That's very difficult in someone's life. Even as we share that pain and suffering for the others, it's a tough loss. But sometimes we all get down and depressed, and I just prayed out to God, I could use a little encouragement today. Just a little pick-me-up. And so I had to transfer my P.O. box from where I used to live in my apartment to where I was now instead of going all the way back and picking up the camp application. So, and I said it'd be really nice if, you know, because I've got to run in sometimes and look in it, see if I've got anything, pull it out. Usually it's a quick one, so I'm going. I would like a place that it'd be like easy access to where I don't have to go all the way down and bend down and kind of look in there. You know, I know that might seem silly, but I know that God is a God of miracles also, and I just needed that picker-up. And so I went up to the counter and filled out this application. And by P.O. Box back in Carnes was P.O. Box 30122. And my new box is P.O. Box 70122. There are thousands of numbers, okay? I went from 30122 to 70122, top rung, perfect as you go in to open it. I simply walked up and I looked and I said, thank you. Thank you. Now, is that circumstantial? Or did God hear my prayer? I believe he heard my prayer. And I'm still thankful. And that's the ones that we share with each other. Some people go, hey, let me tell you what happened in my life. I want to tell you about this happened to me. And it's wonderful when brethren get to eat together with one another to remind each other of what took place. I thought I was going to lose my wife. I was on my face before God. 3 days, 72 hours of labor. I didn't know where, I thought God had left me. Worst time in my entire life, but the best time in my entire life. Because what I learned from that one, he never left me. He was always there, and He always will be. I didn't see it, but I see it now. So when things look not too good around me now, I go, I don't know the circumstance. I don't exactly know why this is happening, but I refuse to doubt God. Not happening anymore. We made our commitment, we go forward, and we're to ask for more strength. You know, it was asked, please forgive my unbelief. That's the one that we asked for. We need to be strengthened. In Exodus 15, verse 22, it says, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went to the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water, and that's where the complaining came. Obviously, God was going to lead them out and cause them to starve, and no, I don't think so. After all that took place, did they deserve it? Yeah. When they came to Marah, which means bitter, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, which shall we drink? Oh, I saw that in forms of the modern day church. The sound is way too loud. It's not comfortable. How come there's all those reserved seats all the time? I go, wow, this is like Israel of the past. You know why they put all those signs out in the Feast of Tabernacles to reserve all the seats? Because they really want to just tick you off. I saw them get together. What can we do to really make the brethren mad and to put them through trial and testing? Put a lot of signs that say reserve that really makes them mad. Or turn up the volume really loud for somebody. As they came up, the one man says, it's way too loud. And I said, by the way, where are you sitting? The speaker was right there. I go, sir, this is for the hard of hearing here. You can sit away from the speaker. But it's just, wow, really? These day and ages? We've not learned our lessons, so we continue to complain and murmur instead of being thankful. So thankful. They didn't. Verse 25, he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. A miracle here. And he made for them a statute and an ordinance. This was a judgment that's called a mishpat. A judgment. And there he proved them. And he said, if you'll diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you. It was called Yahweh Rapha, it's called. So from the very beginning, healing has been a matter of obedience and of faith. He does expect us to change. And sometimes there are things that we are doing to our physical bodies that need to be changed and fixed. And it's up to you personally to go before your God and for me to go for my God and say, please show me the way. But I want to change some things because I don't want to keep getting worse and worse and worse because I'm simply not taking care of my body. Let's just go to Mr. Baker and ask him to anoint me and everything will be okay. No, when situations come up and there is intervention that's needed, then yes, God will be there, but he expects us to repent of our sins and also change our ways even physically. Proverbs 4, verse 20. We'll finish here. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Because I believe, again, when I look around and examine and see the state of the church today, I wish I saw a healthier church. We're not the prime examples of health, and we really should be. So there's things that we can do to change. And I'm not going to harp on people or go into your cupboards and see if you're hiding some, if you're eating too much candy or whatever it is. It's for each of us to make the changes. We all can do that. But we have to take this seriously, and we have to make sure that we put God first in everything that we do. Proverbs 4, verse 20, my son, my daughter, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. You know, coming out of this season, out of Passover, isn't it a wonderful experience to go before God and to know I'm renewing my commitment? It must have been great because it went by that fast. So quickly, I believe, like Mr. Frank said, even through the different things that he had to go through during Passover, such a difficult time, just the attitude of what a fantastic time it was for him to be with God's people. what a fantastic time it was for all of us to go through that. Now we've got something else to look forward to. For those of you and us that are lacking in our faith, the power of God is there to help. It's called through the Comforter. It's called through the Holy Spirit. But you've got to seek it. It just doesn't come automatically. We've got to get on our knees and we've got to ask for it. So as we go toward Pentecost, let's again continue to renew our commitment. Get closer. If there is a problem, like the old commercial said, fix it. Ask God for the wisdom. He'll be there. He listens. He hears your words. He hears your pleas. And He is our healer.